Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a conversation about giving the gift of books in the age of the e-reader. Julie Bosman, who's on the book beat for the New York Times, joins us to talk about how book gift-giving has changed and how it's affecting the publishing industry and books themselves. Hi, Julie. Welcome to WNYC. Happy holidays.
Hi, Brian. Happy holidays to you.
How do you think printed books are selling compared to e-books this holiday season?
Well, there's an incredible transformation happening in the publishing industry right now, and the main thing to know is that publishers for the last year or two have seen tremendous gains in sales of ebooks, and right now about 20% of their sales are coming from ebooks. That's up from about 10% 1 year ago. Now, the holidays might be the exception to that year-long trend. Anecdotally, all the bookstores that I've been talking to are seeing very big gains in ebooks, in print book sales, that is. They're about 20% up over last year. Even Barnes & Noble, which has had a very up-and-down year, said they've been seeing very strong holiday sales so far. So it might show that there's a real durability to the print book as a holiday gift.
And I would think that it would be hard to warm up to the idea of giving an e-book as a gift, that it's not that satisfying to give or to get, for that matter, you know, a file on your computer as opposed to the handwritten notes that you can make in the front of the book or the, you know, as a gift giver or just the physical object that you can hold in your hand.
Exactly. You can't write a note in an e-book. You can't dedicate it to a girlfriend or a parent or a close friend, sign a date in the book and write something.
Right. You can't wrap it and put it under a tree. Do you think people, though, are buying the device as a gift more instead of the content as a gift? You know, people shifting from books to Kindles and other e-readers?
They definitely are giving a lot of Kindles. Amazon, which is very cagey about numbers, said a couple of weeks ago that they've been selling more than 1 million Kindle devices every week for the last 3 weeks,
wow,
which is a very big number.
Yeah.
And they said that that's about four times what they sold a year ago. One major thing that's changed with the devices is that they've come down in price by more than half in the last year. Right now you can go onto Amazon.com and buy a $79 black and white Kindle, which for the publishers, that $79 is edging very dangerously close to the price of a $30 hardcover. However, you also can't really give an ebook very easily. The Amazon gift card just doesn't have the dramatic flourish that a beautiful hardcover does. So we'll see.
Right. So listeners, we have a few minutes for your calls on this. When so many people are reading on Kindles or iPads or Nooks or whatever these days, is giving a physical book as a gift passé for you, outdated, obsolete? Apparently the sales figures indicate the answer to that question is no for many people. Is anybody listening right now giving ebooks as gifts instead? Are you going beyond the Amazon gift card to somehow give a particular ebook? And how do you virtually put that under somebody's tree anyway or under their menorah? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How has the electronic book era affected your book-related gift giving? 212-433-9692 for Julie Bosman, who covers publishing for The Times. And you wrote an article recently about book publishers jazzing up the physical object to push physical book sales. You cite the Jay-Z book, the Murakami book, IQ84, both beautiful objects. And in the article, you bring up Julian Barnes, who won this year's Man Booker Prize for The Sense of an Ending. That's the big book prize in the UK. And in his acceptance speech, he addressed how books are sold. Here's just 9 seconds of Julian Barnes on ebooks.
If the physical book, as we've come to call it, is to resist the challenge of the ebook, it has to look like something worth buying and worth keeping.
Worth buying and worth keeping. So, Julie, covering the industry, how do you see publishers trying to create something worth buying and worth keeping? Is it about the physical feel and look, of the book more than before?
I think that publishers are realizing more and more that they have to put more value in the print book. A print book cannot compete with an ebook on price. So what can it compete on? It can compete in the beauty of the book. You can have an exquisite cover. You can have the beautiful deckle edge, the rough edge that you often see on a novel or a big weighty biography. I think over the last 10 to 15 years, publishers have been penny-pinching when it comes to the quality of a print book. They've made the paper thinner. You know, they've really scrimped and tried to produce books that are cheaper to produce. And now I think there's, in the last year, there's been a change in that thinking. And you do see a lot of publishers that are putting a lot more effort and, yes, a lot more money into making a book that looks like something that people will want to keep on their shelf.
Some books seem to beg to live on a bookshelf. You mentioned a new translation of the Iliad selling for $35. The Harry Potter series seems to be something people still want in hard copy. So the publisher has a calculation when they decide which books to push as physical objects. Let's take some of these callers. Lisa in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you giving or getting?
Well, I'm calling because I am getting a Kindle for Christmas from my husband, and I know that because Amazon emailed me and told me, and then emailed me and told me what book he bought me. So I just thought that was kind of a problem.
Yes. So
I guess people should watch out. I will say, however, that I'm a writer and my book is out of print, but available electronically. And I feel like I'm going to read more if I like it. I feel like I'll probably buy more books this way. So even though I'm a writer, I guess I'm pro Kindle.
Lisa, thank you very much. Pro Kindle also. Carolita on our Facebook page. Listen to this one, Julie. She writes, I'm actually disappointed when people give me physical books now because I know I'll never read it. My bag is so heavy, I only read on my Kindle or my iPhone now. I gave my godchild a Kindle and bought her books. I guess that's books for Kindle. While it's true you can't inscribe an ebook, you can write a note in the email that announces the gift to the receiver.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of people now who are just changing the way that they think about gifts. You know, maybe 5 years from now, it'll be seen as a very quaint and romantic notion that a book was an incredibly popular gift. But I think it's also important to point out that there are so many books that don't translate to e-readers. You can't give a fancy art book for someone to read on their black and white Kindle. It obviously doesn't work. You know, you can't give a great cookbook on many Kindles. You know, for there are so many genres of the book business that just don't sell in digital form right now.
Well,
so iPad when we're talking about fiction, that's one thing. Art books are another.
And the iPad is ahead of the Kindle in that respect.
It is, yes. I mean, I think that one interesting thing to watch over the next couple of months is what happens with children's books. You know, when we're talking about the simple black and white devices, so many picture books for children just don't work on that device. But now that so many people are buying iPads, so many people are buying Kindle Fires, which is the new color tablet. Barnes & Noble has a new tablet that it just introduced. So we may see a real bump in sales in a lot of the books that traditionally didn't translate to digital.
Omar in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Omar.
Yes, good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good,
how's everyone doing? Happy holidays to everyone.
You too.
Good. I'm just calling to say that as technology advances, we get more technologically advanced. We as a human race just seem to get more lazy and dumb in sense, you know, just to throw that point out there. Talking about the Kindle and the books, I feel that you can never replace the value of a book. You know, the art of it, the beauty of it, the illustration of it, being able to literally hold it in your hands and turn the pages is something that a device like a Kindle will never be able to replace.
Omar, thank you very much. So there are some people who are getting really comfortable with e-books. There are some people still not. We have a few minutes left, Julie, and you cover the publishing industry. You covered politics in the 2008 presidential campaign, right? And so I think you are well positioned to take a look at this with me. As you know, our politics website, It's a Free Country, has launched a GOP book tracker where you can track the sales of all the books written by the 2012 GOP candidates. Michelle Bachmann's book, Core of Conviction, by the way, is ahead at the moment. But I was noticing that the titles seemed very Republican to me. So we went back and looked at recent books by Democrats to see if the titles seem to speak to their politics, even if you didn't know who wrote them. So we saw Mitt Romney's book, No Apology. That's a very Republican title. Rick Perry, Fed Up. Newt Gingrich, A Nation Like No Other. Beat your chest. Michelle Bachmann, Core of Conviction. Now look. Now listen to the Democratic books. We'll play a little game. All right. Which Democratic politician? Because I think you don't know the answers necessarily. We didn't prep you with the answers.
No.
Who wrote Our Choice?
That I don't know.
It's Al Gore. Our Choice: A Plan to Solve the Climate Crisis. Here's an easy one. It Takes a Village.
Well, that's easy. That's Hillary Clinton, right?
Right. And Rick Santorum responded to that with his book, It Takes a Family. So taking it away from, you know, social responsibility into personal responsibility. Very Democratic, very Republican contrast. Who wrote Promises to Keep?
John Kerry.
That was Joe Biden. How about this one? One more. In Praise of Public Life.
That one I don't know.
They're hard. That was Joe Lieberman. So I think that we really do have a pattern here. If you look at the Republican books, they're all kind of adamant or demanding that other people step up and do what they are responsible to do. The Democratic books mostly seem to be about communities and people taking more communal responsibility for things. So Al Gore, Our Choice, A Plan to Solve the Climate Crisis. We all have to do this. Hillary Clinton, It Takes a Village, obviously. Joe Lieberman, In Praise of Public Life, with public life, as opposed to No Apology, Fed Up, A Nation Like No Other, Core of Conviction. So I don't know, just something we noticed, that there seems to be, you can probably tell the party by the book, by the politician's book title.
Well, I can add to that that when Herman Cain announced that he was going to write a book, the title was earlier this spring, Who is Herman Cain? Question mark. And by the time the book came out later this year, it was This is Herman Cain! Exclamation point.
The work of the editors. And we thank Julie Bosman, who covers publishing for the New York Times. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.